to Inside the Artist. My name is Rachel Corman. Today on the show, I have the band Lucy with me. They make up of three girls, Ari, Ashley, and Mikkel. They are a really sweet, lovely bunch, and they talk about how they all met, their special bond, both musically and personally. If you're hearing this episode the day it comes out, which is Wednesday, February 28th, Lucy has a show in San Francisco tonight at Hotel Utah. They have a couple more shows coming up March 1st and March 2nd, which they talk about, so they're going to be in San Francisco for a few nights. So definitely check them out if you're in the area. And they have a couple other shows coming up in Los Angeles in March. So stay tuned to hear those dates and enjoy. Here is my interview with Lucy.
Can you tell that one of us is blonde, one of us is redhead, and one of us is brunette?
Red.
Not so much anymore. It's starting to fade.
Wow, you guys are. Did you dye your hair, Ashley?
I dye it like every 6 months. So, but it gets redder every time I dye it because it obviously takes better.
It's my prized possession. I'm very.
You are. We have a brunette, a redhead, and a blonde.
Should get insurance on
like
it.
Like all the jokes.
Like we should.
Have you guys introduced that to your set?
No.
The jokes with the hair. No,
not
but
yet.
We should.
I need to make sure my hair stays red all the time, though, but if I keep dyeing it, it's going to fall out.
I will buy you wigs.
No, but then we'll be a brunette, a bald, and a blonde. I don't want to be the bald.
There's no joke with that, so you're right.
We can't.
Oh, there's plenty of jokes. I just don't know if they're appropriate for the stage.
Probably not.
Let's introduce yourselves before. Let's go around. You guys all say your names so that everyone knows who you are and your involvement in the group.
Yeah, that sounds great. Go ahead.
I'm Ariana.
And she's the brunette. I'm Ashley.
Are you sure you're the brunette? Are you sure about that?
I'm Ashley, and I'm the fake redhead.
And I'm Mikkel, and I'm the blonde. Mm-hmm. Is that now what we say?
And that makes up Lucy. Yeah. Welcome to my studio apartment where we're nice and cozy.
It's so cozy.
Walked in with the candle. Yeah.
I'm sitting crisscross applesauce. I have my socks on.
Everyone's pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
The candle is called a Snuggly Sweater.
Get out.
It is called Snuggly Sweater.
Right up. Does all it of come?
Is it a sweater?
No.
Does it? I mean, I have some sweaters in my closet.
No, I want it to be the candle.
On this
sweater.
Episode of the podcast, we raid Rachel's closet.
Sponsored Anyways. By sweater candles.
Okay, so I want to know how you guys all met.
Oh, that's so.
You take it.
So, Ashley and I, in my memory, we met at the Voodoo Lounge. I was performing, right? Is this okay? And she was with a friend. Were you with?
I was with Matt.
With Matthew.
I was there to see Matt.
Matthew John, which is a incredible singer songwriter friend of ours. Anyway, so he was there, and we basically met there, and I was performing, and then we started doing. Then I went to a songwriting camp. I'm butchering this. I went to a songwriting camp in OC that Ashley was co-hosting at the time, and then we ended up in a group together writing a few songs together. I think it ended up just being like one and a half or something.
Danger Zone.
Yeah, Danger Zone, which I'm sure will be on.
So you guys met and you knew you were both songwriters, so you wanted to kind of collaborate together?
Well, no, I mean, basically we just, I serendipitously saw her at this OC songwriting thing. I didn't know she would really even be there.
And then we just got put into a songwriting group together.
Yeah.
And ended up writing a song. And then from there, I ended up singing backup on a couple of her gigs.
Yeah.
We started doing that.
Sang at like an EP release party or a single release party I had like in 2014.
Yeah. And then you met Ari differently.
Or something like that. And then Ari, I met at, go ahead.
We met
I'm
at.
I'm butchering these stories. So.
I trust you. I do. Maybe it's misplaced. But we met at a songwriters collective. Mm-hmm. In Koreatown. It was my first time going. Tim Davis, another amazing songwriter friend of ours, introduced me to it. And he was a stranger to me. But, you know, I got in his truck and I was like, I'll go with you. That's fine. He is the warmest human and could not have been a better friend.
So she could have not lived to see the death of Lucy.
But it was Tim Davis. And then I met Mikkel that night.
Yeah.
And we were like, we should totally hang out. And then didn't.
Well, no, I mean, we hung out. I took you home to Calabasas.
You took me home that
which
night.
Which is really funny.
We stayed in the car.
You got two strangers' cars that night?
Yes!
I took her home.
Wow. I'm really glad I asked this question.
It's a long story, but we talked
till
like 4
a.m.
that night.
It might as well strip club.
Oh, God.
That's the moral of the story.
But the way we all met was
I saw them singing backup. I would like to, or you singing backup.
Right.
At so room Ari, five. You went to see them. So Mikkel and Ashley, you guys were singing together, and then Ari, you went, but you guys had met separate occasion prior to that.
And I actually asked Mikkel that night if I could sing backup for her.
Wow.
In addition to Ashley.
Steal my gig.
Sing together with Mikkel? Or
to sing backup for her. Like with
Ashley.
Yes, with Ashley.
Oh. Wow. Because Mikkel, what we didn't say yet is you were doing solo work before.
Yeah. Yeah, we were all doing our own projects and our own focuses. Yeah.
But the magic kind of happened when you like brought it together, because Mikkel just had this idea to bring
a bunch of
female songwriters
together. Before.
You were everything.
Get out. That's
okay, a different kind of magic.
So did you start singing backup for her?
Well, what happened was Mikkel, instead of saying, yeah, you could be my backup singer, she said, let's write a song together, and organized a night with three other songwriting, you know, ladies. She wanted a female songwriting session. It was me, Ashley, a woman named Caitlin Eady, who we're still really good friends with, and Mikkel in Ashley's apartment.
Yeah.
And I arrived in North Hollywood. Yeah. And when I arrived, Caitlin Eady she wasn't able to make it, like, at that moment. So it was just the three of us.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're kind of forced in that place together unexpectedly, you know?
Yeah, well.
And it just, serendipitously, you guys were just meant to start making music together.
Yeah.
Point to Ashley.
We just started, you know, obviously writing a song and we were trying to figure out what we wanted to write about. And so we started kind of singing together to get a vibe going. And we all sang a three-part harmony. It was probably just like a 1-3-5 deal. And at that moment, we're kind of like, oh, that sounds pretty good.
We got really excited.
Yeah, we got super stoked about it. And we kept writing
Was it the first time you guys ever sang together?
That was the first time I met Ariana.
Yeah.
It was the very first time. Mm-hmm. And
because it's true, your voices together are amazing. They're so beautiful.
Thanks,
and it just makes sense that you would work together as well. And it seems like that you would make such a solid team.
Because we talk so much.
The chemistry between you guys, but also your voices. There's so many elements. It just makes sense. But I can't imagine, like, when you must have heard all of you guys sing together for the first time, you must have been like, oh my God, this works.
There's a funny part about that too, is I came across that recording about 2 years later. That we took a recording from that first night. I resent it to them in this group. And I listened to it, and I was like, why did we decide to become a band? it was like not... Obviously, you improve.
It's not cute.
It wasn't bad, but it was just like, wow, that was not as good as I thought it was in that moment.
It's like, that's what we heard? Oh, no.
Yeah, but like that night, we literally decided to become a band.
We were wasted.
Right away.
Yeah, we were not wasted. It was almost Friday the 13th, and we were kind of feeling some magic. And Ariana says, out of the blue, she goes, guys, we should become a band. I think both of us were like, oh, no.
Who invited this girl?
Yeah. And then after a few minutes of mulling it over, we decided, you know what? We still question it. But we said, like, you know, if this were to happen, what would our name be?
I think it's working out okay for you, Mikkel.
Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah, and we just, at that very night, we came up with a name and, like, a theme and almost an entire song. And then ended up playing our first gig like a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
We technically had two songs, if you count Don't You Leave.
That's true. We did have two songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the whole reason why it ended up working initially, now it's just a... No, I'm just kidding. But initially,
Rachel's shaking her head.
I'm laughing. This is so funny. No, I'm enjoying it.
So much of this.
So sober. It's like not even funny.
I know. I'm starting to think I should have had some wine for us.
No,
that would have gotten way worse.
That would have been our responsibility.
The awkwardness is what is going to keep the listener listening. No, I was just going to say, I think the reason why I ended up working for me is because it was this no pressure thing. You know, I was thinking about it in a sense that, let's do a band. We'll call it a band and we'll just continue to write songs together. And like, we don't have to perform these things. We could just leave it to...
It was more about the songwriting?
And hey, if a gig does come up, I don't know, maybe for fun, but...
Pull you on stage.
Kind of just, felt very organic, like...
You just knew you guys wanted to work together.
Yeah. I think we just wanted it to... We just had so much fun with it.
I had never met other women in the industry who had the same sort of songwriting mind that I did.
Well, and also, to add on to that, none of us have sisters.
Yeah.
So, we're pretty much the sisters
Yeah, it's kind of... Like, when you're talking to Lucy, you're talking to, like, a whole other entity. Because they feel like my sisters. It's like a little family that's born when we're together. And, like, you know, two of us will do a gig, not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, like Ashley and Mikhail sing together all the time, and I geek out because like I'm their fan. But aww, it's entirely different, yeah, and like just above
special
us.
Special sisterhood.
Yeah,
totally.
That's totally so beautiful. So it sounds like when you guys all came together that night in the apartment in North Hollywood, there was just an instinct that you were meant to make music. How long ago was that?
Almost 3 years to date. It would, March 12th is our third birthday.
But oh, it was wow, a Thursday night, so it was almost, you know, Friday the 13th.
Should we get super cheesy? We have rings with the Roman numerals of the date on them.
I have mine in my purse.
Because
I love that.
It's, they're not promise rings. They're just like, oh, this yes, is cute. It's mainly just because we always keep forgetting the date. So whenever someone starts saying like, oh, it's the 14th. Oh, it's the 11th. I'm like, look at the ring.
That is so cute. When did you guys get those made?
Well, last two Christmases ago, I did it like for us. And all of them ended up breaking within the first like month of us having them. They just broke apart. And so this Christmas, I got sturdier, better
this
ones.
Christmas. Aww. Ari doesn't wear her ring because she...
That ain't
she
true.
She explores her other options.
I'm a poly, you know, I'm naturally, no, girl, I was working all day and I don't want that ring with the Roman numerals. Yeah,
okay, as I just slipped mine on my finger as if it was.
She just took it out of her purse.
Yeah, right?
Uh-huh. Like, what are you talking about? I'm super committed.
No, I'm just the freak who's like, I literally never take it off.
And like, Ari doesn't have hers and Mikhail took hers out of her purse.
You can understand the dynamic.
I do. Yes. I also want to point out when you guys arrived, you all know like each other's schedules. Like Ashley was the first one, then Mikhail, then Ari, and they're like, oh yeah, of course Ari's not here yet.
I would love to point out that Mikhail texted that she was still on her way when I was parking, and I had a silent
parking
like,
was rough.
I also think
my point to that is just you guys know each other really well, and it's really sweet to see like you guys all said the same thing when you walked in. Like, oh yeah, of course she was the first one. Oh yeah, of course she was the last yeah, one.
I have personal victories when I beat Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
How often does that happen?
Once a year.
Right?
Amazing. Little did I know I used to be a very late human being, which is why I'm no longer.
I could die the next day if I'm right over Ashley.
Yes. Yes.
Die, perfect, happy man.
I want to know where you got the name Lucy from.
That would be this one.
I always look
Ari?
At me for that one.
Yeah.
Well, Lucy, back in the day. Well, we have Lucille Ball. We also have Lucy the Australopithecine that existed way before our time. She was part Neanderthal. And they discovered her while listening to the Beatles song. She's like 2 million years old.
Basically our oldest ancestor.
She's the most complete skeleton, that we have. Like the oldest complete skeleton that we have. And yeah, they named her Lucy. She's sort of like the symbol of the first woman that eventually gave rise to the human race. And I studied this in college, so I love it. I love human culture and human yeah, history. So when we were tossing around ideas for a name,
yeah,
Mikhail goes, well, I mean, I have a dog named Lucy, because we knew we wanted a female name, like a yeah, single female name.
Yeah.
Right.
And she's like, I have a dog named Lucy. And I, my ears perked up, and I was like, oh my God, Australopithecine. And Ashley obviously had her laptop and started Googling what it meant. And if you spell it with an I in Italian and Latin, it means light.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that was the name.
That was it.
It's stuck ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really didn't take us long.
Despite like all minutes, the social media hurdles that we have gone through with that name, it mm-hmm, is still stuck.
Because well, I was going to ask you why you have it with an I, not a Y.
That's why.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that is why. And also so that we could be more famous than a light company. That is called Lucy.
It's currently our goal.
Like our oh initial goal. That's like our only goal.
If the music doesn't work out for you, I recommend stand up.
I'm glad you think so.
Well, no, when you Google L-U-C-I, it's a light company. It's like a light bulb company.
I'm and
like,
serious.
The day we can finally get above that company on a Google search, we will have made it.
That will have been we'll our be day. We'll be buying you one.
Yeah. Those are some good goals. I like that goal.
P.S. I'm really just stealing Ashley's previous jokes.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you said that before.
Oh, that's really I thought nice I attributed it to you, so.
See, we're very honest people.
Good How times. Are you, Rachel, now?
I'm great.
I want to ask you, though.
What do like, you want to know?
I know we're being interviewed.
No, this is great. This is great. I'm curious about your songwriting.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So where do you get inspiration to write your music?
If I answer this, it's going to come off as a joke, so just someone else answer it.
I'll say one thing. Yeah. We think kind of metaphorically we have big imaginations, which is the reason for all the joking. So when we get together to write a song, we always we talk about a concept and we get pretty deep, even if the song is kind of like a surface level, like lyric song where we just are playing around. There's always a deeper meaning to it. And we love talking about it and conceptualizing and stuff like that. And you have we bring songs in individually. We most of the time start from scratch together, three in a room. Yeah. Either lyrics first, melody, or instrument first.
And you guys all play guitar, right?
Mikkel and I do. Yeah, Ashley plays piano. Keys.
Yeah.
So do you guys use your instruments as well to help write the melody? Do you guys all do that together? Or do you designate one person?
It kind of is just a flow. Because sometimes
let it guide the melody.
Yeah, we've had instances where someone will come in with a melody that they thought of in the car, which has happened a few times. And so we'll start out with a vocal melody and then attach guitar. Or sometimes Mikkel or Ari or whoever will say, I've been playing with this thing on my instrument. And they'll play that and someone will hum a melody and some lyrics on top. Mm-hmm. It changes every time. And I think that's why it's so cool is that I don't know if we've ever had a session that's been a repeat in the sense of where we get the inspiration from.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I think it's been different every time.
I don't know what you mean by that.
The starting point, one time someone will bring in an idea that's, kind of fleshed out, and then another time it'll be a voice memo.
Meaning you don't think you go through the same process each time. It's always different. New ideas.
Yeah, I think it always at least starts different, and then kind of, we obviously have our habits of how we keep going, but...
Yeah, we're all different songwriters, and in a sense, Ari, I would say, is more of the idea machine woman.
It's aggressive.
It's the hardest thing, I think. I think it's the hardest part of, they always say, having a group of songwriters, you each want to have different strengths.
Yeah.
And I always find that the idea part is the hardest. I have to search for inspiration. Ari is just poster, white wall, floor, shoe. And she'll just throw out every she'll throw out every possible thing. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, that's genius. And then we'll just keep going.
Yeah. When we're writing a song.
And Ashley's sort of the glue. She kind of helps, I think, bridge what we've, I don't know, because
our craziness, what I am.
Ashley has a couple of different strengths of songwriting.
Just a couple.
And lyrically, they bounce off of each other as far as ideas. Melodically, we kind of more so bounce off each other.
Yeah, Mikkel and Ashley, melodically.
Melodically.
And then you,
and then I'm always straightening. I'm just straightening, well, what if we actually put this section before this section?
Right, arranging. Yeah. And I think that also comes because she can't get rid of her guitar. It's glued to her. So it's a wonderful thing. When we're writing, she's always got it. And so a lot of ideas come from that. We have changed songs and almost entirely because of I've got this great chord structure idea for it, and it will flip or whatever.
Good. So you guys each have your different strengths that make it a good group, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I think that's why it works as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you guys like to write about?
Apparently, heartbreak and apparently just being a strong woman. I'm just saying the themes of our songs are us being strong women, us going through heartbreak. That's let me rephrase. I tend to write about heartbreak, which means that we write about heartbreak.
Well, it's therapeutic, right? I mean, do you guys use your songwriting sessions as therapy as well? You have the sisterhood, you have the musical talent. It must just be a really, therapeutic experience.
It's a lot of our songs happen to be, like she said, about being strong women, and a lot of the time, a common theme is rising above, and that specifically has been really therapeutic for me. Mm-hmm. We have this one song, Frontlines, and when, I don't know if we can get political.
Absolutely.
Let's go for it.
Whatever you want.
Just, to give you an example, we all, get, therapy from our songs, but in this one instance, when Trump was elected, my little cousin texted me that she was kind of scared. And she's a young girl, and I helped raise her, she's like a sister. She's not a cousin. And when she texted me that, I was enraged and then suddenly very upset and kind of felt hopeless because I couldn't do anything. And the whole country was afraid, or at least parts of it.
And you were probably afraid part of you as well and didn't know how to...
I was, and, you know, like...
give her that strength, yeah.
Women's rights, gay rights, like, there's all these things that she now has to fight against. And I was like, this is not, you know, the kind of world that... She's about to go off to college. So mm-hmm. I had all of these emotions, and I was kind of sitting with it during one of our rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And Ashley just starts playing the piano, and I was getting lost in it. And then I started singing, and then Mikkel came back in, and Frontlines was born.
Wow.
And I felt like it got put in that song, mm-hmm. and I was able to place it. And Frontlines is now about being there for someone that you really care about, saying, hey, I know you are scared, but put your war paint on anyway. And I'm going to help you through this. Like, we have our armor together. Mm-hmm. We're going to be on the front lines. Like, I got you.
Well, the craziest thing happened. It actually was one of the very rare times where Ari was out of town, and Mikkel and I ended up having to play a gig at Molly Malone's. And it was a fundraiser for Hurricane Harvey. And so we were trying to think of what song would be appropriate. And we're like, you know what? Frontline seems like it'd be a really good choice. And we sang it, obviously, as Ari was mentioning earlier, it wasn't the same without Ari, but obviously it felt good to sing it in that sense. It just never is.
I'm rolling my eyes because, like, they're amazing.
No, but after we sang it, one of the guys came up to us, and I'm not going to repeat his words word for because I don't remember, but he told us that on the patch that he wore in, I think he called it a regiment or a group, like, he was in the war, essentially. Mm-hmm. He was in Iraq. And the group he was in, they had patches, and on their patches it said, follow me. And the last line of our chorus is, follow me. And so he walked up and told us that, and he showed us a picture of what his patch looked like. And he was like, you know, that really spoke to me, and, like, that was exactly what we used to say to each other.
What did that mean to you?
It was, like, pretty chill-inducing. I remember sitting there being like, that was the first time I felt like someone had taken a song that a song that, you know, we had come up with from this really emotional place, mm-hmm. and they had felt the same type of emotion.
Well, that is the power of music, I think. Yeah. You know, I think that is what's so beautiful about, you know, listening to music, making music, is the power to instill that same emotion into other people. And mm-hmm. that's what's so beautiful. You guys have the platform to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of, like, responsibility in one way. Mm-hmm. But it's also a saving grace, because you can take your emotions and let them live outside of you and then connect them to somebody else. And it's like...
Well, you never know how it's going to affect them. You know, a sad song, like you said, can almost be just therapeutic, right? Mm-hmm. Like something that's about heartbreak, right?
Yeah.
So it just ends up being sort of a different feel for everybody. And I used to only write songs where my goal was, like, I just want to make people cry. Like, I had some sort of sick enjoyment out of it. No, obviously not. But I
this
was
is
like,
Mikkel talking, I'd like to say.
Well, I think that's a very vulnerable thing, right?
Yeah, someone absolutely. Cries,
especially at a concert in front of people. Like, what the, you know.
Have you ever cried on stage?
Yeah, I have actually. Yeah.
I cried when we sang Rosary at the Fifth recently.
Yeah.
I had turn away. I can tell that story too.
Yeah, tell me what happened.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to interrupt you.
Oh, no. I don't even remember what was happening. It's fine.
You sure there's not vodka in that water?
Yeah, what are you drinking over there? Yeah.
Or gin.
Some clear liquid.
Gin is Mikkel's
drink. Pure imagination.
Okay, so Rosary is another sort of Frontlines type. But I wrote Rosary with a friend of mine, Michael Lewis. I don't know why I didn't write it with you guys.
Oh, I just
wouldn't be what it is if you didn't write it with Michael.
Yeah. Well, I ended up, it's a song about my friend, Melanie, who passed away too soon. And I was so upset, you know, that I couldn't do anything to help her before she passed. And I remember my friend Michael was over, and I was like, you need to help me finish the song. And he did, and I was crying, and he was just like, okay, I got you, and we, like, finished it together.
And she was living in San Francisco at the time.
Yes, right? Melanie and I met in San Francisco, was in the city, that's right, when she died, so I couldn't be there. And I brought the song to Lucy, and, like, they sing it with me, and I just feel like these two girls are my angels when we sing it together. And we recently sang it at the Fifth down in Orange County, and Melanie's family came to watch us, and they know the song, they love the song, and when we performed it, Melanie's sister Natalie had just had her son Elijah, and Elijah was just big, blue-eyed, like, obsessed with Lucy, and they were watching us sing it, and by the end of the song, I, like, strum the last chord.
He's like a little angel.
He is.
Like a little angel.
He is. Yeah.
We have a picture with Elijah on our Instagram if you guys are interested. He's pretty much the cutest thing.
He's our favorite fan.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
He's an angel.
Yeah. Yeah. So, when he was really little, we went one time and sang for him when he was really little, and he just sat and stared.
That's right. We have a video of that,
he's not even conscious at that time. I mean, you're just...
Well, your voices are like angels. I mean, come on, girls. Thanks, you know that.
Well, but enough for like a baby that can't even say any words to like recognize is really special.
Yeah.
Well, he probably was feeling the energy you were sending out, and it probably was comforting for him.
Yeah.
Well, that's a beautiful story you shared, Ari.
It was kind of rough. It was hard just in that one moment because like I was watching them listen and I just started to cry, and I like, the song was over, thankfully.
So you made it through the song.
Yeah,
but at the very end, yeah. But I mean, as hard and heartbreaking as that is, I also think that that's such a beautiful moment that you are able to make music and share that with family that is related to, you know, connected to your friend and you know, kind of share that together.
Yeah.
It's funny too, because I feel like we all have our different moments, and we're crying on stage, I might not have done yet. We just came back from Nashville where we recorded our album, and one of the songs we recorded was, it's like a personal story of mine. And after I got out of the booth, I was so emotional that I went into the back and I laid on the couch and I just started bawling. Like, and my eyes just were like swollen. And then Ari came over and sat on top of me, not next to me. She literally laid her entire body on top.
Smell a love blanket.
Yeah, and no one had noticed this, that Ari and I were just laying there.
It's like a snuggle sweater.
Yeah, but I'm like shaking and heaving under the snuggle sweater on this couch. And after like 20 minutes, our producer, Cliff, turns around and he looks, he's so perplexed at the situation.
He's always perplexed.
Mikhail's in the booth singing, and I was like, don't worry about it, it's fine.
So was this a song that you wrote that you were singing at the time?
Yeah, it's one of our newer ones. It's called Hot Air Balloon. And it was just about at the end of a relationship. And, you know, obviously everyone goes through that. But, you know, I kind of came to terms with it or wrote about it a while after it happened.
A song that she had written without us and then brought it to us.
Yeah, and we like changed it and like created a bridge and like, you know, performed surgery on it and like made it really pretty. It's like plastic surgery, but in a nice way.
We also had the main surgeon come in, George Krikas.
Oh yeah. And the main surgeon. Yeah, our friend George came in and helped us with all of our harmonies and like really turned it into a whole other thing.
Yeah.
It like made it, took it to the next level.
Yeah.
He vocal produced
really
it.
Yeah, he vocal. Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's pretty emotional. And after belting my little stomach out of my body, I went into the couch and had to just decompress.
You can hear it. That's going to be on the album, which we'll talk about, but you can hear it in Hot Air Balloon that she's about to cry.
Ashley's cries.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally connect to music when I can feel the emotion from the singer. So I think that is important that happened in a way, because I think if you got that, like you say, if you did record that, I'm really looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't get the whimpering at the end.
No, there was no whimpering.
Add that at the very end.
Like, no whimpering. Sick, obsessed.
So I want to know about this album.
Yeah.
We do too. We want to know all about it.
Take it away, Jokester.
I'll take it. Yeah. Yes. So we're working with basically sort of doing a deal with a publishing company. It's sort of a non-said publishing deal. It's there's no contract involved at the moment, but they're friends of ours and they're people that we've admired for the last year and that we've been flying back and forth to see and to work with their people. And the main guru dude is
yes, Father Nashville.
He's Father Nashville. Him. His name is Cliff Downs, and he has been in the industry for years as an artist and also supporting artist. And so he's a creative. He you know, has a like mind. We all share that in common.
How'd you meet him?
He's an incredible songwriter, for one.
Yeah, he is an arranger. But my girlfriend,
my girlfriend Nicole. She played basketball actually with Cliff's daughter, JD. Julianne Downs.
Yeah.
And when we were going to Nashville the very first time, Nicole decided to come with us.
Bless her heart.
Bless her sweet little heart. And she filmed us and was following us around with a camera. And by the end of the week, she's like, my friend Julianne was like, you should meet up with my dad. He's in Nashville. He's a publisher. And we were all like, oh, sure, he'll make time for us. And he did.
Wow.
We played for him in the studio. And
when was that?
A year ago,
October 2016.
Wow, so you guys went to Nashville and performed for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In his office on a couch.
It was.
Was that nerve wracking?
Oh yeah.
A little bit, but by the end of it, it was so validating. For me. Oh my God, because he was on Music Row, and it was my first time there, and I just
it was our first time there, and it was kind of a fun, surreal experience. But yeah, so we ended up working with him, and then he has a one of his songwriters, his name Trip. anyways,
a badass songwriter and producer and human being. And
yeah, he's a beats maker too. He just gets in there and really does his thing. And
he's written a couple songs. He's got a really
creative mind.
Yeah, we have our favorite best session.
So how long did you go down there to write?
We kind of have been going on trips back and forth throughout the last year and a half.
Yeah. We've been there like 4 times now in the last year, I think. Yeah. Or slightly over
a year. The first trip was more as a tour.
See ya.
Well, we were kind of under the wraps with like the last three because they were more just for songwriting. The first one was like the tour where
we
called it the Nashville tour because we did about 4 or 5 gigs while we were there.
That's great. What was that like, performing there?
It was a dream. Yeah. We were very much in a dream that first trip.
Yeah.
I feel like your music really fits Nashville well, too, because it's a bit folky.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Can I say that?
100%. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 100%. People here think we're a country band. People there are like, you're not country.
Yeah.
No, but they understand it. I think they can, they can kind of, I don't know if they can digest it better than LA. It's just,
they understand harmonies. It makes so much sense that you guys would be performing there.
They connect with the harmonies, and I think it's like, it's such a big songwriting town that people can hear that. You know, they hear that we spend time on it, that we're not like
the art of it,
just throwing it away. The art of it, exactly. Mm-hmm, and they're so welcoming. And we just made so many friends, and like, we get people at the gigs in Nashville, which is awesome, you know, to create another home in a songwriting town is very special.
Yeah, it's definitely
because you guys tour a lot around LA. You guys play a lot of gigs around LA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's the difference like performing in LA versus Nashville?
People are actually awake. No, I'm just kidding.
They're just as drunk, but they listen.
They do have.
You said they appreciate the songwriting. You get that vibe from them.
You do get, I think, a little bit more of like a deeper listen because I think there's so many songgwriters in that town, right? Yeah. That's what their main concern is what is this song gonna feel like and what is it gonna say?
And you kind of feel in LA that sometimes they're looking at your image a lot.
Yeah,
whereas in Nashville, it's more of a visual thing.
Interesting. And then Nashville, it's more about the art.
Yes.
I think realize the art here too. Not to say it's only visual.
Exactly.
We're stereotyping people right now.
No. I get what you're saying. Of course, people appreciate the art here, but that here it's the visual is also an element that people look at.
A whole package idea. Yeah.
Totally. What I've noticed too is that in Nashville, it tended to be when we played shows, they actually were a little bit quieter. Like noticeably the volume in the room was quieter because I feel like there's just a different type of appreciation for music and there are more music people in general there because it's a smaller town. So here in LA, everything is so spread out. So you get people from all different career paths, everything in one spot. Mm. And so you have people, you know, who might want to listen or some people want it to be background music. It's just different. But in Nashville, they actually do feel like the highlight of that moment is what's happening on stage, whereas in LA it could be different.
Well, and we also are being introduced as these girls that are from LA, so we're sort of these aliens that come in, you know, these strangers that come into their house, and they're like, "What are they about?" Like where they're like, we're like the new dogs that they have to sniff.
I knew you were gonna go there.
But you know, LA, we're like, we're from here. You've seen us before. Yeah. You know.
You guys have definitely made a name for yourself around LA. You've played at all the major venues here.
Thanks. We've played a handful of them.
Yeah. We have more to go.
I've seen you at least three. I think.
You're awesome, Rachel.
Hotel Cafe, Molly Malone's. Mm. Maybe Hotel Cafe twice.
Probably.
Just because it's my favorite venue.
Yes.
I'm playing there on Monday.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, we're hosting. We're curating a night. Monday.
Yeah. So, don't
you're gonna be in London.
London.
That's okay.
It's very good. London. That's a valid excuse.
She's gonna find her London sweetheart.
She has you have a Tinder date scheduled in London, right?
This is staying on the podcast. For sure.
Advertising.
Thank God I have the power of editing here. You girls.
No, you're gonna keep that. You can ask your next question if you want.
I don't know what my next question is. You released an EP last year.
Yes.
Live from 201.
Yes, which was
2016.
Yep.
Yeah, 2016.
What does the title mean?
Oh, live from 201. So the apartment that Mikhail and I live in currently is number 201. We recorded the EP in our apartment in the living room.
Wow.
And later got a noise violation for it. But one which of, is a thing the that exists in apartments.
So was this the first EP you guys released?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
First official recording at all. I mean, our friend, it was so grassroots, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Our friend Chris produced it and played Cajon at the same time. He was recording. It was all live, and we were around one mic. Our friend Mauricio played guitar, and Jamie played bass. And these are, like, our boys. We have the same boys that come with us and play
well,
with us.
Well, now Chris is away, so we
He's in Nashville.
Justin and Nick, who, and occasionally Dylan, who play drums for us.
Yeah. So to go from that to now recording in Nashville on your second EP.
Super.
Is this an EP or an album?
Oh, girl, it's technically an album.
Yeah.
Wow. Seven songs.
Seven.
Six and a half, seven.
Which to me, still like that's an EP. But
well,
it's technically.
It's a mini album.
So that's in a matter of a year.
Yeah, we're going to release it this year at some point. And can I please just talk about the guys that played on it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really great.
So talented. Great
guys. Yeah, Duncan Mullins. Mm-hmm. And that is somebody that Cliff introduced us to. Okay. And he just was funking it out.
He was so fun.
So you met them in Nashville.
Yeah. Cliff introduced us. He
used to play for like Amy Grant and stuff. But
when we flew out there, Cliff was like,
thousand of artists.
Cliff was like, just get yourself here and we're going to make the album. So
that's incredible.
Flew there. It was. It really it was a complete dream. He set up the whole thing. He invited these guys to come over. He's like, don't even worry about it. Like, y'all can do the guitar if you want to, but I'm just, so you know, I'm going to bring in this guy named Danny. Danny comes with like a mandolin, a banjo, two guitars, and
bazooki.
A friggin' bazooki. And he pimped out our tracks.
To be honest, I did not know what a bazooki was.
I knew what it was.
A Greek instrument, and I think it's a cross between
banjo,
a mandolin and a banjo.
And a banjo, yeah.
Do you guys have a picture of this? I need to see what it looks like.
Pull it up, because
it's spelled
It's
really
funny, because I feel like if you weren't really paying attention, you wouldn't know that it was
so
anything different.
It sounds like on this album, you have way more instruments involved than on your EP, because your EP, was it just guitar and piano?
Guitar, drums, and bass.
Okay.
Yeah. The percussion was just Cajon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is
This is going to be like a fully produced. We did a single after the EP, which was Can't Be Alone, which we recorded also with Chris Hazel. And that was our first like studio recording. And then this is a...
Oh, I feel like I have seen those before.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a guitar,
Right.
It looks like it's used on a lot of
records.
It's like
records, a teardrop.
Actually. It's used on a lot of folk and Americana and country records. You just don't know it.
Right.
But it's from Greece. It's like a Greek instrument.
You know, I wish we could like listen to something. But afterwards, we'll send you a song or something.
I can't wait for you to hear this.
I'm so excited. I did not know you guys were in Nashville working on this.
With professional
Are you keeping
musicians?
It a secret?
No.
Well, we've been a little cryptic about it because we just were, well, in a sense, I have been. I don't know about you.
It's kind of fun to keep things
be
cryptic,
mysterious.
Honestly.
We're
just
trying
because we
plan out the release first, and then I think
and
we're
then
do you know when it's when you're expecting to release it?
Sometime summer or fall.
Okay, so we have to wait a little bit.
You have to wait.
Do you have any music coming out before that?
Potentially. Well, we'll have video releases for
sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you have a single out right now.
Yes.
We do. Can't Be Alone with You.
So is that your that's the most recent?
Recording.
There's a video on YouTube to go with it. It's like a compilation of all of our shenanigans over the past 3 years.
3 years of being together. Yeah.
Chris, our friend Chris Hazel produced the guy who produced the live EP produced that single for us. Can't Be Alone with You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we had our friend Mauricio play on it, and my brother helped us with the lyric video. So it's like a big family effort type of deal.
I love that.
It's super fun.
So what type of music can we expect from the album? Is it the same singer songwriter folky? Is it what's kind of genre is it?
It's singer songwriter folky with a little bit of like a blues under element. There's some songs there that are like bass heavy, kind of like So What.
I would definitely say it has more of a pop driven element to it for sure.
Yeah, it's got some songs have a little bit of funk. Some songs even have a little bit
Which
of a country
sort of that
feel.
Bluesy, yeah.
Yeah, and some even have a country feel, but then some are very like we have a couple that are piano heavy. Yeah. It's a variety, but it's all tied together in a nice little loosey bow.
Which is exactly what we are.
I love that. That's so beautiful.
Thanks.
So what makes Lucy so special?
You tell us.
Aww.
I mean, I think I've already told you.
Nah.
No.
You're so funny.
It's the fact that we're, you know, brunette, redhead, and blonde. Honestly.
We're three very different people who came together and form one lady.
Well, what I think is so special is just the way that your voices naturally fit together to make such a beautiful sound.
Yeah.
I just think you guys, it was so meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, I just.
Thanks. We appreciate that. Yeah. And that's kind of what was the surprise for us, too. And we hope that the same surprise and the same sort of like awe that we're in, we're hoping that people feel that same like in awe experience when they're listening.
I think people that come to your shows do.
Mm-hmm. We hope
absolutely.
We feel it like from them. We've definitely built like a family. Like our friends are our fans, and our fans are our friends.
Yeah.
And like they inspire us. They inspire the next songs that come, because when we're writing, we keep our audience in mind.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like
that feeling of connecting
with them. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, the way you do connect to people, I think, is what's also special about it.
That's what we hope to do. You know? I mean, that's what music is for.
Yeah.
And our blend like never goes away. It's I'm the low, Mikkel's the mid, Ashley's the high, and it's like this perfect ice cream sandwich.
Except Cliff would argue that we switch parts too much. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys switch?
Yeah.
All the time.
Even within the same song, we'll completely switch parts.
How did you figure out who was going to be the low, middle, or high?
It just sort of naturally happened.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not always like that, but for the most part, that's sort of... When we're in a hurry and we need to figure out, okay, someone wants us to play this song or whatever, we get a request, it's like, okay, I'll take the lead, the low, I'll do the middle, and But I think that's just pretty much naturally where our voices land.
It does change, though.
Ashley kind of has a weird voice that she could sing literally anything.
it honestly changes within each song and where the keys lie. So, like, you know, a song in this key sometimes will sound better in that, you know, typical... setup, but sometimes in a lower key, Mikkel might sound better on the higher note, and I might sound better on the low. And
We try out.
It changes every time.
When we sing, a lot of times when we write a song, we don't write the parts ever, like to begin with. I should say ever, because that's pretty.
The harmonies you come late. It's last.
We do the harmonies, but we'll just say
they come later.
Just gonna sing these harmonies. Sometimes they come later, but even if we have the harmonies set, it's like I'm just gonna sing this for now.
It sounds like it comes naturally, and you don't really think about it or plan it out.
Yeah, exactly. Like whatever comes naturally, and it tends to be like me on a bass and Mikkel on like.
Well, the
mid.
Funny thing is Ashley and I do have a harder time finding the bass now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because we don't have a lot of experience with it, but I
have
truly
more testosterone than you.
Well, you might, you do, but.
Sorry.
Yeah. Lay off the steroids, okay?
Jeez. I'm really struggling over here.
You're getting a little too muscular.
Yeah, your arm is almost the size of my finger, so.
I'm almost there. I'm working on it.
No, but if.
Your full finger.
Do you sing?
No, I do not sing.
Well, just the next time you're listening to music, try to do a harmony that is higher. And you're like, okay, I can kind of understand this idea if you practice a little bit. But even if you are good at that, trying to do a lower harmony, it just is awkward.
Well, they're harder to hear. The frequencies are lower.
And that makes sense.
They're softer.
Elephants, can you hear them?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and maybe you're an elephant.
One thing I didn't ask you guys, did you guys all come from singing backgrounds? Like, I didn't ask about growing up. Did you guys sing in choir growing up?
Let's go, like, one by one.
Yeah.
I think we all did choir at some point, but choir was, like, a huge focus of mine. Hi, Hancock. My choir teacher is still like kind of a big part of our lives.
Yes,
and we love him.
We just saw him at NAMM.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
But I was a huge choir nerd, and then did drama and all that stuff. So the most lead I had done was musical stuff. And then I started working with a producer in Orange County and started learning how to do more studio singing. So I did a lot of demo and backing vocals. So I was trained in that sense in songwriting.
Yeah.
So, but I'd never done lead pop on my own. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of pop background vocals and demo vocals.
Yeah.
So that was where I kind of came from.
Definitely the most experience in the studio, I would say.
100%.
Yeah.
In the studio, yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
go ahead. And then,
Ari, how about you?
I grew up with a really musical family, and everyone plays something, and I was sort of handed the microphone at every family function / when I was born.
Yeah.
And I wrote a lot of poetry, so my parents, put me in piano lessons, and I ended up writing songs at an early age, and... they really fostered that, but I didn't do lessons or anything. Like, I tried, but it was never the right fit for whatever reason. And then in high school, I have a lot of stories about what I tried. But when I was in high school, I was in choir, and I did a cappella groups for 4 years, and I did all of the choirs for all 4 years. I did the musicals as well, and we traveled a little bit. I know Ashley traveled too. Mm-hmm. So that's and I was the alto, and that's where mm-hmm. I learned my alto stuff, and I did a lot of the leads as well in those choirs and groups. So that's where I sort of found my solo voice. That sort of created
were you
everything.
Were you first or second alto?
Second.
It's funny, I was a first alto.
Yeah, maybe.
You were a second alto? Second, yeah. I forget. What? I was higher. Who's
I
higher?
I had a lower voice.
First is higher, and then second. Yeah. Got it.
Fully.
Yeah. It, like, was really low.
So you were really low.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I did all of them.
I would sing guy parts sometimes.
Oh, really? And I'll have
alto 2-1 mezzo.
You don't have a low speaking voice, though.
I don't. Oh, I don't.
I don't think we had alto 1. You don't. And then once it got to be more advanced. Yeah.
We're, like, having
conversations.
Sorry, now we're talking about
alto. No, I was just telling Ari that she doesn't have a low speaking voice.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that she can sing so low.
I don't know what it is. I really, I mean, I get my voice from my dad. Does that have anything to do with it?
Maybe.
Did you guys all know growing up that you wanted to pursue singing?
Yes.
Yes.
Ashley says no.
No, I had no intention. I had no idea what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I went to college, and I was studying broadcast journalism, dance,
me too.
And marketing. Nice.
Hey,
well, hence the podcast. Hey,
you're a fellow BS and BJ, right? That was the joke.
I haven't heard that joke.
Oh my God, the joke. I was a broadcast major.
BS and BJ?
That was our joke, is we have BSs and BJ.
There was a
bullshit
lot of
blowjobs.
Yeah.
I have a BA in BJ.
Oh, we had a BS. We had Bachelor of Science.
BA.
Oh, that's why.
That's why I never heard the joke.
Oh, no. Our general joke was that you have a BS in BJ. But but yeah, so I did that in college, and I did music on the side. And I came out here and actually was working in the music on the music
Your
business
mom
side
must
of things.
Be so proud.
She's so proud. I started working in the music business side of things. I worked for a music management company for almost 4 years.
So you knew you wanted to be in music in some capacity.
Yeah, eventually. I figured out halfway through college I did not want to do broadcast journalism. And it was too late to switch my major. But I learned some things. But I ended up, you know, obviously working for that company. And I still love the business side of things. But ended up finding these goober heads. And they kind of convinced me to try this out, and I feel like it's working now, so now I'm just rolling with it.
Ashley, do you bring some of that business education you had to
I drive them not be who we were.
I drive them nuts.
Is she kind of your manager?
She is the manager.
She's the manager.
She's the mom. She does the finances, and she makes we all make decisions, but Ashley, like, on our first tour to Nashville,
she brings home the dough.
Amazing.
She's a rock star.
They also hate me sometimes for it, which I don't blame them.
No, I think it's good. I have enough of that. I mean, I went to school for music business.
You guys,
for 6 months.
We all know. We all know.
I have that brain as well.
Mikkel, did you know you wanted to go into singing?
From a pretty young age, yeah. I started performing when I was 8, and then, just like dancing, ballet, that, like the typical stuff. And then it started to become this 5 nights a week, starting from the time when I was about 8 years old to 15 years old. And did tours, you know, California and Colorado. We did some tours, and that was like the singing and dancing, sort of like a musical without the acting parts. So we're basically just doing medleys, you know, Men in Black and and Popular. So I grew up, you know, having that and then and doing voice lessons and I basically just knew that that is what brought me joy, was being on the stage always. And
have you
I
always
realized,
been songwriting?
The songwriting, I actually started taking songwriting lessons from a girl named a lady named Julia.
Thanks, Julia.
She was incredible. Thanks. Yeah, she's also my performance coach. I was just a spoiled brat, man. But my mom never got to do any of these things as a child, and she just wanted to, whatever I, you know, her whole thing was, as long as I worked at it, as long as she could tell I was practicing, then she would let me do these things, you know.
Sweet. And where are you from originally?
I'm from Utah.
So when did you move to L.A.?
I moved to L.A. 2012, so right after high school. Yeah.
So did you have goals of being in a band, or was it to be a solo singer?
Nope.
Or what did you want to
achieve? I had my solo thing in mind because that was just kind of the thing that was flowing at the time. And then I released an album, an EP in 2015 that I recorded in Chicago. And then just sort of this thing kind of just swept me up out of nowhere, really.
Yeah, me too.
And that's why it was so scary at the start. I mean, we were really reluctant about it, and the universe just kept on saying, nope, here you go. Here you guys are going to be in a room together.
Well, and you guys all have the same story. You all just are like, oh, yeah, this is meant to be. Like, there's no hesitation on any of your parts.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because it's like, palpable.
You can't really ignore it.
You can't. No. You literally can't. We try, you know. The freeway's shut down and you end up at Lucy's house. Like,
that's what, the universe. What goals do you guys have with Lucy?
Ooh. Red Rocks Theater in Arizona.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
More famous than a lighting company, and to create and tour and just make Lucy, you know, get her to her biggest potential.
I want Lucy to be my only job.
That too.
Like ever. It's like what I want. You know, like, and have that be like the reason you wake up in the morning. It already is, but, you know, have that, be able to put all of the energy to it all the time.
Yeah. I would say there's, I think we see the potential as far as like where we could really go with it. And we're just kind of taking a bite at the pie each day.
Yeah.
You know?
Seeing where it takes us.
Do you guys have any gigs coming up?
Yeah.
We're going to be in San Francisco February 28th to March 3rd. If you're in the city, check our socials for that, because we're doing Hotel Utah, Bar Fluxus.
Bar Flux on the 1st, and So Far Sounds, which you have to just go onto their website to sign up
for. Oh, So Far's great.
Yeah, for San Francisco, we're going to be there doing that on the 2nd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if you're in L.A., we're playing on, it's one of our really cool nights that we get to play that we like doing. It's called Desert Nights, and it's put on by KCRW's DJ Valita over at the Standard in Hollywood, the one that's on... Sunset. It's on March 7th, and so we'll be playing there. We're figuring out what time, but we'll be playing there on the 7th at night.
And then Hotel Cafe again on March 16th.
And your album is coming out later this year. We don't know when.
Surprise.
But it's supposed to be amazing. I can't wait.
Thanks.
It sounds really, really exciting.
Yeah. Thanks, Rachel. Sweat and tears.
Where can people find you guys? What are your socials?
At Love Lucy Music, and that's Lucy with an I. Everything's linked to our website too, www.lovelucymusic.com. I sound like I'm doing an advertisement.
We're on radio.
But yeah,
bring up that broadcast journalism. Oh, come on. Yeah.
She's got a few.
But yeah, everything
she's
is.
She's got a nighttime radio voice.
I do. Her name is Delilah. My roommates used to make so much fun of me because I would make these Facebook videos and I would talk like this and it would look like a late night talk show host. I don't know, but anyway,
she does it naturally.
Ooh. Yeah, Love Lucy Music everywhere in the universe.
I love it. Thank you guys so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I hope that you're gonna be able to get some sleep. I feel like we wore you out.
This was a blast. No, I had a good time. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
And that's the show, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to leave you with Lucy's single, Can't Be Alone With You.